Hey, I want to talk to you about rejoice today because I think we need to rejoice. You know, there are times in your life when you just have to rejoice. And sometimes you don't feel like rejoicing, whatever, and so on and so forth. Things happen, but if you'll make a habit of rejoicing, some things will happen inside your spirit, inside your heart. So I just want to talk to you about rejoicing joyfully today. Rejoicing joyfully. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the work of your Holy Spirit. And I pray, God, you will speak to our hearts and our lives. You will help us to be and to hear what you desire to speak to us. We need you, Lord, and we ask you to touch us. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know that you'd call this a sermon. So this is kind of going to be different for Christmas Eve service. Is that okay? Don't forget Christmas Eve service, 5:30. We do it an hour. It's just a great time to come Christmas Eve. Enjoy that service as a family, and it'll be good. All right? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That's a great verse of scripture about the prophetic work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came, did his ministry, died on the cross, and on the third day rose, and then 40 days later ascended into heaven. And there are some people read this verse and they say, well, if Jesus did what he's supposed to, why isn't there peace? And why isn't there these things that they talk about? And what they forget is that peace, ultimate peace is coming, but he came first to give us spiritual peace. And there's a spiritual dimension to life that if you miss the peace in the spiritual dimension of life, you will miss peace. There's something about having peace in your heart. You know, the nations will rumble and the nations will war against one another. And that's really, in the end, the peacemaker is coming to make peace, but on the second coming, but on the first coming, he came to make peace in your heart. And that's what we have to understand. There's a spiritual battle going on, and he came to fight what you couldn't fight. He came to win what you couldn't win without his aid, without his help. And that's the power of the birth of Jesus. Listen to what the angel told Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name. And then he declares what Jesus is going to do, because he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. That's a dimension there that we really don't comprehend or can't fathom, the power of sin and what sin has done to us. But God understood that we couldn't deliver ourselves from sin. We needed an advocate. We needed someone to come in our stead. And Jesus came down to do that. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord." Notice what he came to do. He came to be the Savior. And if he's not the Savior of your life, you're missing the whole point of why he came. Amen? He came to be our Savior, to forgive us from our sins. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says this, "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Wow. That's the power of who Jesus is. The power. As Jesus was coming to the end of his ministry, they were going to have the impromptu celebration of him riding on a donkey into Jerusalem was going to take place. And this is what the scripture says. "And when he came near to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. I love that because it's kind of the same song that the angels were singing at the beginning. Glory to God in the highest. Peace, goodwill toward men. He never forgot the mission. All of his ministry, all of eternity, he has not forgotten the mission. Amen? And you and I ought to learn to joyfully rejoice in what he's done in our lives. Amen? Joyfully rejoice. In the beginning part of that chapter, it's in Luke chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, it tells the story of a man. Listen, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said unto him, Zacchaeus, you remember who Zacchaeus was? He's a short little guy. I'm not trying to offend anybody. He was a short guy, had to climb a tree to see Jesus. He was real short. Had to climb a tree to see Jesus above the crowd. And Jesus was walking along. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said unto him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I'm going to stay at your house today. Now, have you ever had anybody invite themselves over to dinner? Have you ever had anybody just invite themselves over to dinner? That's what Jesus did to Zacchaeus right there. In that moment, he invited himself in to his house. Now you got a choice to make. Let's just go to Sonny's. Because you know, it all depends on how clean your house is. It all depends on what's in the refrigerator. It depends, you know. And so suddenly, and come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And what did he do? He took Jesus in. They had a dinner. And I thought about this past week. It's amazing. Listen, Jesus stopped at the spot, looked up, and said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. It's the same ministry of Jesus from the beginning. God so loved the world, he sent Jesus into our house, where we walk, where we breathe, where we eat, where we live. He sent it. Now the question is, have you received him into your house? Have you received him into your house? Zacchaeus knew what it was to fellowship, to dine with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Listen to me. When the Lord brought salvation to my life, when I repented of my sins and gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, there was a communion with God established that has lasted a long, long time. And it's never going to end. The men's fellowship that's going to happen in a couple weeks, we're going to have a great time. We're going to have meat and buns, some tater chips. And if you're a vegetarian, you can just come eat the bun. You'll be all right. And I've felt impressed on my heart the other day to ask somebody to share their testimony, just a brief little testimony. And the guy says, well, I'll do that. What day is that? I said, it's January 6th. He says, you know, that's the day I got saved. 45 years ago. Wait till you hear it. Listen, God is in the business of moving into your house. Right. He wants to take care of you. He wants to bless you. He wants to do things in your life that no one else can. And part of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is joy. You got any joy? Huh? Pluto called it, called joy the supreme good mood. Look at your neighbor. You just tell him this. You need a little joy. It's the supreme good mood. How many of you know there's some people at Walmart this morning need some joy? Right. Hallelujah. It's nice to have it in the house. You see, when joy is talked about in Scripture, it's talking about the coming of the Lord in the Old Testament, the coming of the Lord. And in the New Testament, joy is encapsulated upon His second coming, the eschatological future that you and I will share with Him all of our all of eternity. Hallelujah. You know, a few weeks ago, my mom had another birthday in heaven. I wonder what birthdays are like in heaven. Well, I'm not sure. Let me tell you, there's celebration all the time. Huh? Yeah. I better be quiet. See, what brings joy in Scripture is an amazing. One thing is salvation. Psalm chapter 5, verse 5, verse 11, chapter 5, verse 11 says this, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you." We do not do enough rejoicing. Joy in the house. In Jeremiah 15, verse 16, it says God's word brought joy. It says this, "When your words came, I ate them, and they were joy to my and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty." In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, there's joy at weddings. There's joy at festivals. There's joy at feasts. And there's joy at funerals. Because funerals are not, hello. It's the gateway into eternity. That's why it's important you know Jesus. Amen? Now, this is what I know. The enemy tries to steal your joy. How's he doing? The enemy comes. Christ comes to set you free, and that freedom, Christ, in that freedom, Christ gives you joy. Now, there's three things going against you here. Number one, you got your flesh. The Bible talks about your flesh, your carnal nature that tries to steal and bring you backwards from where God wants to take you. The other thing, we have the principalities and powers of this air that are ruled by Satan and the demons that we war against, and then Satan himself. I mean, when you get saved, doesn't mean you're free from fighting. That's why the Bible talks about what? Put on the full armor of God so that you can what? Take your stand against the wiles of the enemy, the schemes of the enemy. You and I must understand that and realize that. He comes to steal what God wants to do in your life. Amen? That's what he wants to do. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, it says this, "In which you were formerly walked." He's talking about the flesh. He's talking about the according to the age of this world and according to the prince and the power of this air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. But when you become saved, you become a son of obedience. Amen? You obey the word, and therefore what? God's blessing is upon you. His hand of favor is upon you. And I don't want to live without his hand of favor. Amen? So the enemy knows how to steal your joy. I need the youth up here. That they're going to help me here. So some of them. If you didn't meet with me, you probably don't need to be up here. You'll be lost. We got one angel in the midst of these other. You guys are supposed to be behind me, remember? So we never practice this or anything, so you just give us a little grace, okay? I'm going to try to help you remember what the enemy tries to do in your life in relationship to what God wants to keep in your life. Amen? So these guys represent my history or my potential history. They represent what I was before I got saved. All right? Yes, I was real young when I got saved. All right? I think I was 15 years old. And when the scripture says, I received Christ, old things are passed away, and all things become new. All things become new. Matter of fact, the scripture says, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And at my at my redemption, at your redemption, when you gave your heart to the life, and it's all the old stuff in your life, all the stuff you used to do, all the habits, all the ugly, all the things that the flesh were bringing in your life, they died. Now, this is what I know. Carrying around that baggage doesn't bring joy. When the day I got saved, and I fully didn't understand what God was doing, can I tell you, at 15, you don't understand the baggage that you carry into life because of the way you grew up and what your mom and dad said and did and all that kind of junk to your life and all your friends and everybody else that poo-pooed on your dream. They can mess you up. And you don't even know you're messed up. But it's baggage you carry around. And then you get saved and all that baggage is, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you the joy? Huh? And in your journey, as you walk by faith, see this? You just walk by faith and you're just journeying along and
I'm addiction and guilt.
Addiction and guilt tries to grab a hold of you again. Why? Because you've been free, but it has no grip on you. But you, the memory of yesterday, the things that have possessed you, the things that have taken a hold of you in yesterday, even though you're free, tries to latch onto you again. And you don't want to drag this around with you. You just keep going and you just keep, all right, shake that off and
pride.
Did you say pride?
I am pride.
It grabs a hold of you. And you forget who you're supposed to be living for, and you try to do it in your own strength, in your own power. And you know what happens if you choose to live with something that God sets you free from? You become encumbered. Your joy dissipates. And you have to learn to shake it off. You can let go now. He just loves me. He just loves me.
I'm fear and inadequate.
Fear. Anybody out fearful about life? How can I do that? I don't know what's coming tomorrow. I don't fear. Inadequacy. Man, you should have been me when God called me into the ministry. I thought, God, you're crazy. You're crazy. And it took a long time for me to surrender to that call because I felt so inadequate. Some people are that way when God knocks on their door in relationship to Christianity. I'm so inadequate. I've failed so much. It's a terrible place. There's no way God could ever forgive me. But I'm going to tell you, God is faithful, and if you just keep living, he'll set you free, make you a new creature. It doesn't mean that thing is dissipated. It'll latch hold of you again if you don't careful. Got to shake it off and keep journeying.
I am failure and greed.
Whew. I thought I was over that when I got saved. Can I tell you how many times I failed? Huh? And that haunts me sometimes, all those failures. It keeps me from living the way God intended me to live. Because we all have that failure thing going, don't we? Yeah. But you got to journey in faith and just keep shaking it off and keep going. And as you keep going, you just...
Hopelessness and worthlessness.
Now that almost knocked me down. I forgot who you were. Say it again.
Hopelessness and worthlessness.
Oh, yeah, that. See, the enemy wants to take your hope. If he can take your hope, he can steal your joy. If you can take your hope, you can forget about tomorrow. There's no need to plan, no need to purpose, no need to fulfill God's dream for your life. Huh? Yeah, you just got to keep journeying in him. Because here's what the enemy wants you to do. Quit. He wants you to think you can't do it. And when he ends, and by the time you get all of this going and you're walking and you're walking, all this stuff starts coming back, latching hold of you, and you think, oh my goodness, I'll never. And the easiest thing for you to do is quit on Jesus. To give up on him. Don't believe the lie. God can set you free. Amen?
Amen?
And when you think it's all about over, you just keep journeying in faith.
I am shame and anger.
Anger, shame. You know, I don't want you to know. I hide, I cover. Instead of things becoming a testimony of victory, they're a shame that makes me hide and run, not be a part of. Run from fellowship, run from the body of Christ. Got to keep walking and not let things carry you down. Carry you down. I'm going to tell you something. You can live your life in faith and you can be free. Or you can allow these things to latch onto you. They latch onto you very slick, sly. Because I'm going to tell you, he is the serpent. He's the accuser of the brethren. And all he wants to do is what? Hinder God's purpose in your life. And when these things latch hold of you, it's hard to be free. It's hard to be. And listen, the enemy is not, he doesn't do it one at a time. It'll be a multiple crash. More than one of these will latch onto you at once. Can I tell you, God knows how to keep you free. Amen? So don't let these things, whatever it may be, latch onto you and steal and corrupt what God is intended for your life. Amen? Would you give these young people a hand? Because that's how the enemy has worked in my life, and I'm sure he's worked in your life somewhat like that. Amen? So the Bible says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, and the Spirit you receive does not make you a slave, so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah! The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Glory to God. Joy. Rejoice. Joy. 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 Catch a little. Don't let the enemy steal it from you. Don't let the enemy steal, because if he can get one of those things or any of the multitude of those things, you're about your history, your past, you know, the enemy will tell you, you'll never make it. You'll never succeed. You're always going to be. He'll label you. But I'm going to tell you, God calls you a son, a daughter. Glory to God. He has a place for you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 6, it says this, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. See, there's a problem in the church back when Paul was writing, and they were having to discipline somebody who was doing something that was not Christian. And he's telling us, listen, you can't wage war the way the world does. We fight principalities and powers in the authority of Jesus Christ. So that's why you take captive every thought and make it subject to the lordship of Jesus Christ. So that when the enemy would whisper in my ear, you're worthless, I will say, God died for me. When the enemy would whisper in my ear, you're never going to make it, the Bible says Jesus is the author and the perfecter of my faith. When the enemy says I'm worthless, the scripture declares he said he will never leave me nor forsake me. I've got a special place whereby I can cry out to him, Abba, Father. How many of you know God has never turned his back on a child's cry for help? And one of those things start latching a hold of you, fix your eyes on Jesus. He will help us. So we have joy through the work of Christ, which that which was lost, you and I, found in the name of Jesus. Names are written in the book of life. Rejoice. Joy through the works of Christ. Rejoice. Heaven rejoiced at his birth. And I rejoice because he came to my house. Glory to God. He came to my house. And I love my communion with Jesus. There's nothing like prayer. There's nothing like the word. There's nothing like worship with the saints. There's nothing like fellowship with the saints. There's something powerful and joyful. We should rejoice. Amen. Where's the worship team? Get back up here, guys. I think we ought to rejoice, don't you? Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Because this is what I know. When you let Christ work in your life, heaven rejoices. Heaven rejoices. Matter of fact, the Bible says this, that the day you got saved, there was a party in heaven. Think about that for a moment. You know, I was born in, the place where I was born doesn't exist today. They changed the whole thing. It's not even, it's March Air Force Base, California. It doesn't even exist anymore. That tells you how important I am. Let me tell you something. The day I got saved, there was a party in heaven. A little 15-year-old boy gave his heart to Jesus. Let me tell you, there was a party in heaven. And listen, I hope you know what it is to have a party in your name in heaven because you know the Jesus. The Jesus that came for one purpose. To save his people from their sins. He never forgot that purpose. He endured that purpose, and he's still working on that purpose so that nothing lay hold of you that doesn't need to be laid hold of. Aren't you glad he came to what? Set us free. And if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And sometimes it's a process. Here's what I've come to know is this. The deeper the wound in your heart, the longer the healing takes. It's the same way with surgery. You go to surgery, it's a major, major catastrophic surgery. The healing process is a whole lot longer than getting your tonsils out. And sometimes the enemy knows what he's doing. He's wounded us so deeply, and the moment you think, I'm over that, it tries to latch back onto you again. And you just got to keep walking in faith because I know this. He knows how to bring victory to your life. So don't you worry about the things that keep grabbing hold of you. You fix your eyes on Jesus. You keep rejoicing in him. You keep knowing the source of your joy. It's not where you've been, it's where you're going. Hallelujah. He is our hope. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. What song are we going to sing? I love this song. I didn't know that he was going to sing this song, but this is my favorite Christmas song right now. Here Comes Heaven. Don't you just love that? Here comes heaven. And what a great thing that God one day showed up in my life. Heaven came down to me. I was so far up a tree without hope, just crazy, like crazy. And God just rescued me. He rescued me. He saved me. And I will never know the totality of what he did that day when he saved me till I get to heaven. Because right now, I'm just seeing it a little clear. I'm thankful for it. I'm wonderful for it. I got joy I've never had before. I got a plan and a purpose and a destiny I never had before. But I just know a little smidgen of what he's rescued me from. And it causes me to rejoice in him. Hey, stand up with me, would you? Hallelujah. We're going to sing this song, Here Comes Heaven. And some of you in this room need heaven to come down and deal with something that's latched hold of you. Do you hear me? Some of you need to come down here. I'm going to ask you to come down. By an act of faith, God, you're my first. It's an act of faith that you're looking to Jesus. It's because something's latched hold of you. And then some of you, maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know what it is to be saved. You need to repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that God has raised him from the dead. And the scripture says, you will be saved. Glory to God. Matter of fact, Pastor Larry, I don't know that. If that really works or not. Listen, the Bible says this. Taste and see that God is good. I don't know about you, but when I was little, I'd look at some other table and say, I don't want that. I just look at it and I knew I didn't want it. Then I got to college and got hungry. And started eating things I never thought I would like. And to this day, I'm still eating them. Taste and see that God is good. Give God a try. Let him work in your life. Don't give up. He's counting on you because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Let me just read one more passage of scripture. Listen to this. Isaiah 9:7. Can you put it up on the board there? Isaiah 9:7. We read it earlier, but the last little verse, I want you to see that. I messed him up because he was... This is what it says. Never mind. This is what it says. When he's talking about power and peace and the kingdom will continue to grow forever, he will rule as king on David's throne and over David's kingdom, and he will make it strong by ruling with justice and goodness from now and forever. And then it says this, the Lord all-powerful. How many of you think the Lord's all-powerful? The Lord, all powerful, will do this. Will do everything he did in Jesus. Listen, he will do this because of his strong love for his people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen, this is what I know. God loves his creation, but he loves you more. He loves his universe, but he loves you more. Because of his strong love for you, he made a way that we would know joy and eternal life in his son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, I thank God for his strong love for me.